8 o'clock, baby.
Okay, that's a great piece of music, but we'll have to come back to it in a while because I've got MEP Sean Kelly on the line. Good morning, Sean.
Good to meet you this morning.
Thanks for joining us. You've been highlighting the Halawa case with the chair of the Egyptian Foreign Affairs Commission. This young man has been incarcerated in Egypt for several years, isn't that correct?
That's correct. He first came to my attention a few years ago when he was put in jail in Egypt without any sign of a trial. And I raised this in the European Parliament. And since then, it has been raised, obviously, by the Irish official, the Department of Foreign Affairs, the Minister, Taoiseach, and we had a resolution in the European Parliament last year calling on his release. And since then, there has been two postponements of the trials, our mass trials they're having in Egypt. And, of course, the main point here is that he was a minor when he was arrested and put into jail. He's there now for 4 years. And it's not acceptable in any circumstances according to the international laws. And we're going to keep on highlighting it until he is released. At least when I met the ambassador and the minister last week, they did say they hoped that there could be a quick and speedy resolution. So hopefully with diplomatic pressure and by highlighting the case both at the Irish level and the European level, we can see him released and returned to his family as soon as possible.
Okay, well, he's been there since 2013. We're now in this is January 2017, and there hasn't been a resolution to date, Sean. And there have been representations made on his behalf by different members of the Irish government and Irish politicians. What would lead you to believe that there may be a resolution to this situation sooner rather than later?
Well, number one, I felt that the minister was very well au fait with it. He wanted to normalise relations. We are now opening up the market to Egypt, and that's a positive sign that they want good relations with Ireland. The European Union has a lot of activity in Egypt, and even recently, the outgoing present European Parliament highlighted the case again. I think probably if they could divorce the case from all the others that are there, it might make it easier. And in that situation, we would hope maybe that they could look at it, because what they have intended doing is having a mass trial of a whole group of prisoners. And of course, that would not be good for Ibrahim Halawa. And if we could kind of disengage his situation from those of others, then it might make it easier. And that's the point we mentioned in our discussions, and hopefully that can happen.
Okay, Sean, could you remind us, please, for the reason, the primary reason that he is being still held? I mean, what was he accused of? I know you mentioned their mass trials, and we've heard about this in the past as well. What is he actually being accused of? And also, he was there. Ibrahim was there with his sisters. I think it was three of his sisters at the time that they were arrested. And his sisters were allowed return to Ireland. I'm wondering why they didn't let him go as well and say, go on home and keep out of trouble or something like that.
That's correct. He and his sisters were out there 4 years ago, and that was the time of the major protests. And some of them were violent, and he was caught up in that with his sisters in the protests. And, of course, then they obviously panicked to a certain degree in Egypt. They felt that all these were conspiring against the state, and they just arrested them. They tended to leave the women go, would hold on to the men. And I think what is happening here is that they're all being tarred with one brush, and they felt that he was involved in the Muslim Brotherhood, etc., despite his age. And I think that's a point that we have been labouring all along, that he was only a young lad out there on holidays, really. And that, for the best of our knowledge, that he and his sisters more or less got caught up in the protest, I suppose, as young people may often happen, but that without a trial and without being given fair play, and particularly the youngness of his age, all these things would suggest that he should be released and back home to get back with his studies and so forth. He's also suffered gravely in prison. Sometimes they're not treated very well, and there are allegations of torture, etc., which again defies the international norms of the way prisoners should be treated.
Yeah, well, sometimes what applies in one country doesn't necessarily also apply in another country or another region. but I mean, countries in that region wouldn't alone be accused of using methods that are unsavoury, to say the least. We in the West here have also been privy to hearing tales of torture being used on prisoners, and particularly we have to mention Guantanamo Bay. People from the Middle East have been taken there, forced under force, and subjected to waterboarding and so forth, and that constitutes torture in any civil-minded person's way of belief. And now President Trump, we're not going to go on to this subject, by the way, I'm just going to mention it very briefly. President Trump is advocating the use of waterboarding and torture again to elicit information from prisoners in American prisons. God knows where that would end. But so we will see what happens. What is there a resolution to the Ibrahim Halawa situation in the near future? Hopefully there will be, and he can come home to his family. Can I just mention to you now that you also discussed Irish-Egyptian trade links and the beef market, which has recently opened up for Irish produce after a 17-year ban on EU beef. How did that go for you, Sean?
Yeah, I think that's very promising. As you said, it's extraordinary the damage some outbreak of a disease can have. As you said, it took 17 years for us to reopen not just the Egyptian market but the US market last year and other markets because of the fear that is associated with PSE, even though it has long since passed. And thankfully now, with the threat of Brexit having on our especially agricultural produce, we need new markets, and the Egyptian market of almost 100 million people would be a wonderful opportunity to us. And I think the Egyptians are very pleased with the standards we have here in Europe, with the veterinary oversight, etc. And there is demand for Irish beef in Egypt. And I think that's a great opportunity for us. And that will happen very soon. And also, of course, I think if it happens in Egypt, there's a great chance that will also happen in the other countries of North Africa, because we need new markets. We need a live market as well as a dead market. And I think having both would be a tremendous fillip to beef production in this country.
Yeah, OK. With regard to Britain, for example, do we export beef to Britain, and in what sort of quantities? Is it a good market for us?
It's a great market for us. It's probably too good, in the sense that about 45% of our beef goes to Britain as of now, and with the decline in sterling and probably the further decline in the British economy when they leave the European Union, the opportunity to export won't be as good. It will be costlier, and they'll also have an opportunity to import from countries with less stringent standards than we have in Europe. So all those things are militating against us, and that's why it's so timely that we can now look at other markets, especially, as I said, in North Africa, but also in Southeast Asia. There's a growing demand there too for Western products, and especially meat and dairy products, which are required very much there. And again, there's great opportunities for us there, and that will help to counter the negative effects of Brexit, hopefully.
Yeah, well, I mean, the situation with regard to producers of good food in Ireland, I mean, the reputation is really, really, really good here, isn't it? And it's
very good, and the veterinary standards are very important for that, because that's the first thing that will happen when you're talking about exporting to a new country. They will check out the oversight, the veterinary standards, because it's one thing to have things in writing, it's another thing to have them in practice. And the production of beef in Ireland is of the very highest standards, thankfully. It's grass-based, and all such things as the beef quality scheme, all those things are ensuring that everything done to ensure that the beef is of the highest standard, and all that's being recognised now. And of course, with all the scares there now regarding health issues, etc., people are becoming more and more conscious of what they eat, and they want to guarantee that it is produced according to the very highest norms. And if you can do that, then you will have an opportunity to sell into those markets, because as I mentioned a few minutes ago, any scare at all frightens people off, as we saw with the BSE, frightened them off for 17 years. So that's why vigilance is so important. There's no deviation from standards, and I think we can be very pleased with the standards we have here, both in the farm and also in the supervisory methods by the department, and especially by the veterinary sector, which is what the new countries would be looking at to ensure that things were not just said they were done, but also actually done in practice.
Okay. Sean, could I just... You mentioned the cases of BSE, and that was the reason primarily for the loss of trade with the countries we're just discussing. Wasn't there something, a scare recently in Galway in that regard?
There was, yeah, but that was okay because it was an 18-year-old cow, and it wasn't because of feeding or anything. I think that was hereditary. That was expected, but there was no panic as a result of it, because that's going to happen until eventually all the older animals who were born to maybe cows who had BSE, etc., died. But that again actually can be turned into a positive, because it shows that again that at every level there's constant monitoring and assessment of every single animal, and if there is anything at all wrong with them in any way, it's not covered up, it's told what it is and it's explained. And I think that actually can be a positive at this stage rather than negative, because I think everybody knows now that BSE is well under control and won't be coming back hopefully ever again.
Okay, one last question, Sean, before you go. I know you're a busy man. Do you consider that improved trade links with Egypt might be a factor in securing the release of Ibrahim Halawa? Or is that
no,
a naive?
No, about it.
Is that a naive? I was going
to
say...
That's what the minister said to me. He said, we want to get this issue resolved. He said, we want to ensure that we can grow our trade. We need to develop our economy. We have great opportunities to have further links with Ireland. We like Ireland. And I think that it would be wonderful if they could now really deal with this issue and get it out of the way. And then we could concentrate on developing trade links and good relations with them in every factor, which I think they're anxious to do.
Okay, Sean, thanks very much for taking the call today. Thank you.
Anytime, you're welcome.
Bye. That was the MEP for Ireland South and leader of Fine Gael in the European Parliament, Sean Kelly. You're listening to Northside Today with me, Pat Meehan.